Along with housing, hundreds of thousands of Haitians remain in dire need of clean water and sanitation. But amid the crisis, it's easy to forget that huge numbers of Haitians didn't have these things to begin with. One of the ironies of the current destruction is that the earthquake presents an opportunity to rebuild Haiti's infrastructure from scratch and finally get it right. The World's Marina Giovanelli has our report.
We've heard often in the last week that before the earthquake, Haiti was already the most impoverished country in the Western Hemisphere. But it's only in some of the details behind that figure that you start to get an idea of what life was really like before it got even worse. Consider this. Roughly half of Haiti's 8 million people didn't have access to safe drinking water. As with so much else in Haiti, it's safe to say that few want the country's post-quake future to look like its past.
I don't think anybody wants to rebuild what was actually there.
Mike Delaney is director of humanitarian response for Oxfam America. Delaney says that before the quake, most Haitians had no running water at all.
The water trucks would be coming in. And for the poor, they wouldn't be even filling up barrels. They would be filling up these, 5-gallon buckets.
Delaney says a few well-off Haitians may have been able to lay pipes to bring water into their homes. But it's likely that even this limited infrastructure was severely damaged by the quake, if not destroyed. For sewage, meanwhile, there was basically nothing. Most people had only outhouses behind their homes, and Delaney says some didn't even have that.
Some didn't even have latrines and used plastic bags. And, toss those into valleys and garbage pits and that kind of thing.
Together, the lack of water and sewage infrastructure contributed to a public health nightmare. The reality of Haiti before the quake has left even government officials hoping that something better will emerge out of the catastrophe. Raymond Joseph is the Haitian ambassador to the United States.
It is an opportunity, and that's the silver lining I see.
Many aid workers agree that as terrible as it has been, the disaster is a chance to start over in Haiti.
This may well present a very good opportunity to expand service to people at affordable prices.
Rich Thorsten is director of international programs for water.org. He was in Port-au-Prince a week before the quake looking at water distribution systems. Thorsten envisions a modern system for Port-au-Prince, but he says such a system won't be cheap.
It will take a significant investment in the millions, if not billions, of dollars to serve a capital city of over 2 million people.
That money likely would have to come from outside of Haiti, and there's no guarantee, of course, that it will happen. But activists point to a similar disaster not long ago as an example of what's possible. Mike Delaney of Oxfam says parts of the Indonesian province of Aceh have made remarkable progress in the 5 years since it was pummeled by a tsunami.
Many of those communities ended up with new homes and water actually going into their homes for the first time.
Delaney says the progress in Aceh was a result of collaboration between local and foreign governments, the United Nations, and private aid groups. But he says it only worked because local people had a say in key decisions. Of course, Haiti is not Aceh, and Haiti faces its own challenges. But Delaney says if done right, the attention suddenly focused on Haiti could help make the disaster a turning point in its unhappy history.
We've said it countless times this week, Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Well, maybe it won't be in a couple of years.
For The World, I'm Marina Giovanelli.